ask one of these systems how many times the letter R appears in the word strawberry, and for a long stretch it would tell you two. You have probably also heard the explanation, because it is everywhere. The model does not see the word. It sees chunks, SDR, AW, berry, so the R's get scattered and it cannot count them. Memorable, repeatable, and this morning I ran the software on the actual question. In the sentence a person really types, how many R's are in strawberry, the word does not arrive in three chunks. It arrives as one. One symbol. That held in all five published vocabularies I ran, from 2019 to this year. And in the biggest of them, Google's Gemma 4, it is one symbol even standing alone at the start of a line. So the popular explanation is wrong about the case it is famous for. And the truth is worse. The word does not turn up awkwardly broken. It turns up as one symbol with nothing visible inside it. Two ways people usually take that, and both go wrong. The first, this is a bug, somebody will fix it. It is not. It is the consequence of a decision made before the model was ever trained, and mostly a good decision. The second is the opposite. A thing that cannot count letters cannot understand anything, so the whole enterprise is hollow. That feels rigorous, and it is unfair, like deciding somebody cannot read because they cannot tell you how many serifs were on the page. Yesterday was about the software around the model. Today is what happens between your keyboard and the model on every request. A model does not read characters. Before your text gets anywhere near it, a separate program cuts it into pieces from a fixed list and hands over numbers pointing into that list. The list is decided once, before training, and frozen. So what should the pieces be? Letters. Nothing is ever unrepresentable, but the sequences get very long and the work grows sharply with length. Whole words, short sequences, but it breaks the first time somebody types a name, a typo, a word from another language, and there is always such a word. So the systems in wide use landed in the middle, pieces of words. Common words get one piece, rare words get assembled from several. How do you pick them? Here is the strange part. The method is called byte pair encoding, and it did not come from language research. It was a data compression algorithm, published by an engineer named Philip Gage in the C User's Journal in February 1994. His opening line is about disk space.
Data compression is becoming increasingly important as a way to stretch disk space and speed up data transfers.
The algorithm is almost childishly simple. Find the pair of adjacent bytes that occurs most often in your data. Replace every instance of it with a byte that was not in the original data. Do it again. Stop when there are no more repeated pairs or when you run out of unused bytes. 21 years later, Rico Senrich, Bari Hatto, and Alexandra Birch pointed that trick at machine translation. Their problem was rare words. A translation system has a fixed vocabulary and language does not. And here is the adaptation the popular telling drops, which is the one that matters. Gage stops when he runs out of unused bytes because he is compressing a file and every symbol has to be a real byte. If you are building a vocabulary instead, a new symbol is just a new entry on a list. The ceiling comes off. Gage's version could never hold more than 256 symbols. The encodings OpenAI publishes today hold 200,000. And Senrich and his colleagues claimed far less than the legend does. Their own summary is not 0.3 to 1.3 BLEU over a dictionary fallback, and on English to German, the best number in their table is not the byte pair system at all. It is a character bigram one. So, run the merges over an enormous pile of text, stop after a chosen number of passes, and freeze. That list is the vocabulary. The rules for cutting are designed. Which words come out cheap is a fossil of the pile. One more piece. The list also holds entries you cannot type. In OpenAI's published chat format, the marker that opens a turn is symbol number 200,006, while assistant is just an ordinary word among the ordinary ones. There is no field for who is speaking. A conversation is one flat run of symbols, and what separates the application's frame from what you wrote is that your keyboard cannot reach those numbers. So watch the vocabularies grow. 2019, 50,257. 2022, 100,000. May 2024, 200,000. This year, Google's Gemma 4, 262,000. And here is what that does not show. Standing alone at the start of a line, strawberry is still three pieces in four of the five I ran, including the second biggest. Only Gemma 4 keeps it whole, and Gemma differs from the others in scheme as well as in size. What makes the word one symbol in the sentence people actually type is smaller and stranger. The space in front of it belongs to the symbol. In February 2024, Andrej Karpathy published a lecture called Let's Build the GPT Tokenizer and wrote it up as a text chapter still in his repository today. Where he motivates it, he says,
"Tokenization is at the heart of a lot of weirdness in LLMs, and I would advise that you do not brush it off."
And now the careful part, because it would be easy to let that eat everything. When Xiang Zhang and two colleagues measured counting in 2024, every mistake under ordinary tokenization was an undercount, never an overcount, exactly what you would expect if the letters inside a symbol are invisible. But a benchmark called Charbench, published this year by Omri Yuzin and Yuval Pinter, splits the claim in two. They found tokenization only weakly correlated with counting correctly, and strongly implicated in locating a letter inside a word, where accuracy falls as the token containing it grows longer. The vocabulary explains position better than it explains the count. Two things happen next, and they pull against each other. First, the fairness problem got numbers, and then a price tag. If the vocabulary is a fossil of a pile of text, the cost of writing in your language depends on whose text was in the pile. I measured that this morning, over 100 sentences in 41 languages. In the 2019 vocabulary, Burmese cost 15.5 times what the same sentences cost in English. By the 2024 one, 3 times. Tamil went from 14.5 to about 2, an enormous improvement, and it deserves to be said first. And then Lao, 12 times in 2019, still 7.5 times in 2024. The gap closed most for the languages already closest and least for the ones furthest away. And it is not an abstraction. Anthropic's published pricing page says today that its models from 4.7 onward use a newer tokenizer producing approximately 30% more tokens for the same text, and its published Opus price is $5 per million input tokens on both sides of that change. Same price per token, about a third more tokens. Which is why I would file a tokenizer change and a price change as the same kind of event. The second is a research program trying to delete this step altogether, byte-level models that learn where the boundaries go instead of being handed them. You can download one. But here is the sharpest objection to my own framing. Last September, Catherine Arnett wrote, "There is no such thing as a tokenizer-free lunch." Her line is this:
"No matter how you chunk up your input data, you're doing tokenization."
And the files prove her point. The Allen Institute's byte-level model ships a tokenizer class of its own and a vocabulary of 520 symbols, down from the 100,000 it was converted from, which the same file still records. The vocabulary did not vanish. The argument is about how coarse the pieces are and who picks them, not whether there are pieces. Two things, both checkable rather than atmospheric. One, OpenAI publishes the library that maps its model names to vocabularies. On the 17th of August this year, one line of it was widened. The entry used to read GPT-5-, and now the dash is gone, so any name starting with those five characters gets the vocabulary added in May 2024. The commit is titled Fail Open for GPT-5 Model Tokenizers, and the file's own comment says prefix matching can match models that do not exist. So it is a claim by a library, not a fact about a server, and the day a name in it points somewhere new, the list was rebuilt. 2. When a lab releases a model, check whether its download page carries a tokenizer file and what size it claims. I checked 8 this morning, 3 of them released in the last week. Every one has a file, from 129,000 entries up to 262,000. A byte-level model answers with 3 digits. If a flagship ever does, that is the day this step stopped being universal. One idea. The model does not see what you typed. It sees a run of symbols from a list frozen before it was trained, chosen by a compression algorithm, run over a pile of text nobody showed you. Karpathy's own line is that a lot of what looks like a problem with the neural network traces back to this instead. So does a fairness question that looks like an engineering detail and is not. And hold on to how thin the ice was under the version you already knew. SDR, ah, Barry was a good story, told confidently for 2 years. It was one measurement away from being wrong. Tomorrow, given a run of those symbols, what does the model actually do? One operation, repeated, and simpler than almost anyone expects. That was day 2. Thank you for listening.